You're listening to Make the Game with Matt Hackett.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Make the Game. I'm Matt Hackett. Today we're going to talk about five ways to take yourself seriously as a creative person right now. This is really important to me because creativity is what powers video games. Never forget that. Stick around to the end because I have a secret that will give you power. A sixth point. We're also going to talk about listener questions, and there's a free song you can use at the end in your own projects, as always. All right, number one out of five. Here we go. This might be the most important one. Number one, carve out space time. All right, so you need two things to be creative. You need time, and you need space. Whatever amount of time you can muster at first is just fine, right? 10 minutes here and there. If you're drawing, half an hour here and there to read up in Unity docs, an hour or three here and there to fix your bugs, and you just scale that out as you can, you know? Here's a great GDC talk I will link to in the show notes. No time, no budget, no problem finishing the first tree. I bet some of you have already seen that. It's a banger. Here's a tip regarding time. There's this popular like tactic you can take. I think it was, I know Jerry Seinfeld talked about it at one point, but it's this thing called the chain, right? And it's probably a pretty old, you know, could be thousands of years old because it's so effective and so simple. But the chain is all about showing up every day. You dedicate that time, whatever amount of time it is. I think in Seinfeld's context, you know, he's a comedian. So it was like every day he wanted to write a joke, at least one joke, and keep that going. Right. And like, I think it's also another way to express that is to have no 0 days, no 0% days where like, you know, every day work on your game a little bit, even if all you do is fix one bug, right? Or you just add, you know, one little entity or something. But other days you'll have, you know, days where you get a lot done. But the point being, like, never have a day where you let it go completely. And I've used this tactic and I like it. But here's a tip is be careful with the chain, because I think in my experience, it's two things. It's one, setting yourself up for an inevitability. You will have an off day. It's just life happens, right? And two, you're setting yourself up for some pain because breaking the chain hurts, which I think some people need that pain. You need that sting to kind of like, you'll see your chain. You had 100 days and then you broke one, right? You life event happened or you got sick or something, right? And you see that, you know, that red X where your chain was broken. And for, I think for some people, that's motivating even. They're like, no, okay, I'm going to beat my high score. Next time I'm going to do 200 or whatever that is. But I think some other people, that missed day really hurts. So just be careful. Like, try it out. And if you notice it hurts you more than it should, either try to, you know, toughen up or maybe try a different approach. To me, I don't do the chain anymore for that reason, is I would always get like three in a row and then I break. Because my creativity, I can't always guarantee it's going to be there in certain context, you know? Space, time. What was the other thing? I think it was space. So time, we talked a little bit about. Space is difficult, right? Because it's like space is kind of like expensive. You know, not everybody has their own room. When my wife and I were hopping around apartments for years in California, like the Silicon Valley area, and you know, once I started working from home, a lot of times we hadn't really planned for that. So one time my office was like, we had this awkwardly shaped hallway, which had like some just useless space in there that you would just put like a shelf or a plant or something. And you could just squeeze this. That's what I did. I squeezed this tiny desk right there. And that was great. You know, not everybody has that luxury though. So my advice is if you don't have space that you can dedicate to your creativity, then try to make something that you can unpack easily, right? Like if you can find a table that's not dedicated to your creativity, but is like, you know, oh, hey, no one's using this Monday nights, or like, you know, hey, my family's usually, you know, doing XYZ on the weekends. So I'm going to use this space now. And I have like, you know, the equivalent of like a chef that shows up to cook and they unroll their knives and their utensils or tools they need, that kind of a thing, right? Like be portable and try to find the space where you can. All right, number two. So invest time and money. We talked about space, time, and I think that like the thing with indie developers, just like us especially, is that you know you are happy to give the time to indie dev. Oh no, there's a deadline I have to hit. This game jam, and I have to work all weekend on my indie game. Poor me. We love to give our time. That's kind of why we show up, right? Two tips, real quick, about time. we love to spend time on making games. So always be improving, always be shipping. I think that a lot of us kind of forget that. You know, when we talk about spinning our wheels, not really moving forward, just kind of just having fun. It's really easy to have fun when making games. Like, making games is a lot like playing a game, right? And sometimes you just want to show up and just, you're not even grinding. You're just existing in the space. So try to always improve and ship. So time and money, this is a tough one. So again, with the, like, the luxury, not everybody has money that they can spend on their creativity, because their creativity is not one of the things that keeps you alive in every context, right? Usually people need, like, shelter and food and whatnot. But here's the thing about your creativity and taking it seriously is you already have a system where you're spending time on things, and you spend some of your time on your creativity, right? You already have a system where you're spending money on things. You have to. You're spending money on shelter. You're spending money on food, water, medical expenses, travel, commute, whatever it is, right? You're already spending money on all of these things. And when you spend some of your money on creativity, what you're doing is you're elevating your creativity and you're making it a first-class citizen. And you're taking it seriously. You're no longer saying that it's an expense that can be cut, like the government will cut arts and stuff. You know, you're putting up a line where you're like, no, you know, I'm spending this $5 on this paper or these pens, or, you know, I'm buying that Unity asset for $20, or, you know, I'm renewing my license. Like, you're putting your foot down and you're saying, like, I'm going to spend more time to earn more money so that I can buy this, you know, and promote my creativity. So what should you buy, right? I think it's, you know, it's highly contextual and everyone's creativity is different. But to me, when, like, sometimes I'll have, like, I haven't spent money on creativity in months, I'll be like, you know, I should buy some paper, some pens or something to kind of motivate myself. What I look for is happiness and inspiration specifically. I look for those two things. I like to go to stores like Michael's, but, you know, any store you go to, you can sometimes find, like, a little art section or something. And I like to just poke around in there, even if I don't have any specific ideas in mind, right? I like to buy pens, pencils, paper. If you're into music, VSTs, buy some hardware. Hardware is really expensive, but you can find stuff on Craigslist, usually for remarkably cheap, right? Like 25% of cost sometimes. You know, treat yourself, right? So here's a heads up. This is kind of interesting, actually. This is related to, like, Valadria and how I'm trying to run a business here, but I'm going to be putting affiliate links into the, like, you know, not in this podcast version, but on the Valadria.com version, and then there might also be some on the YouTube description. But just a heads up, if you end up using those links to Amazon, I might get a few pennies, so that's much appreciated. But there is your notification. Just to show you that I'm not just a sleaze trying to get your money. If you only do one thing regarding, like, spending some money on your creativity, here's what I suggest. This is something I do for myself once in a while. It's almost as a reward for meeting a milestone in my game. I will go and buy myself some branded materials, right? Like something with the Valadria logo on it, or something. I've recently bought some folders that have the How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself logo and branding and stuff on it. And I put, like, I put stuff in it. These specific folders are not enabling my creativity. Like, they're not pens or pencils or you know, VSTs or instruments or something, but they're around in the world, and I like seeing them, and they are highly motivating for me, you know. So I like to go to Shutterfly, and, you know, I'm not getting a penny from them or anything, so there's no referral or whatnot. But, you know, find whatever site. I'm sure there's a bunch by now, but, like, you know, print yourself a little something. Make you know, put your favorite video game thingy on it. Which is a perfect segue into number three. 3 out of 5. Surround yourself. So what am I talking about here? Kind of along the lines of printing the goods, you know, like, I bought myself some folders. I bought myself a mug, a couple mugs, actually. Like, go buy yourself a nice mug with either your favorite game on it, or things that inspire you. So when I say surround yourself, it kind of goes back to space-time, too, because I think the more space, especially if you can find some kind of quasi-permanent space of your own, I think that's great. And when I say surround yourself, when we're working on video games, a lot of times our creativity is kind of locked in this little black box that we don't see. You know, At one point in my life, I had drawn like 100 sketchbook pages on my iPad or something, and I in my head, I hadn't done that. They didn't really exist. And I was going through my folders one day, and I was like, whoa, I forgot I drew all this stuff. So I just started printing it out, and I didn't have a ton of space in our apartment at the time. So what I did was I taped them all up, covering one of the mirror doors in my bathroom closet. It's not a, you know, it's not a creative space. It's like a place to shower and brush your teeth. But, you know, still surrounding myself with that artwork, it was a reminder that I had done it. And, you know, in my sketchbooks, I'm always drawing stuff I love. And so to see it on the wall, I was like, hey, it's a mermaid. I love mermaids, you know, that kind of a thing. So I highly recommend that. And here's how I recommend rolling that out. Start with your favorite video games, right? Like for me, I would print Final Fantasy VI art. Oh, it's gorgeous. You know, Spelunky, one of my go-tos. Shining Force has so much cool in-game art, but then also so much cool official art, in the guides, fan art. Just print all that stuff out. No one's stopping you. No one's going to sue you. Get a color printer or go to wherever print stuff for you these days. You know, Kinko's it used to be. I don't know if they exist anymore. But print them out. Just pieces of paper. It doesn't have to be fancy even, right? Like the ones I put up were temporary and I literally ripped them down and threw them away. But they had been up for a year or two inspiring me. So start with the games that you love, right? Then move on to more of a mood board that's setting the stage for the game or games that you're working on that you want to inspire, right? So for me, I'm working on a game about witchcraft. So I'm looking up right now at my cork board. I've printed out a bunch of stuff that inspires the game. It's just random pictures I picked up from Flickr or Google or whatever, and also Pinterest. So this is a good segue into Pinterest. If you don't have the space, like if you just can't, you don't have a wall where you can put stuff up, that's okay. Try something like Pinterest. I know it's not like a, I don't think a lot of game developers don't really think about Pinterest, but it's got a great interface. It's got a Google Chrome plugin that lets you just grab or pin, they call it, images, but you can create this really cool mood board. And then they give you this webpage where you've got like a grid of all these images. So even if you don't have physical space that you can surround yourself with what you're trying to be creative with, you can at least still have it. Keep a tab open, you know, like keep your Pinterest board around, try to keep it visible. I don't know if I finished this, but the progress that I recommend is start with your own video games, move on to inspiration. And then after that, the final step is to replace everything with your finished game. And what's so cool about this is you kind of get this real life progress bar, right? Where the board or if you're printing stuff in the physical world, you can see it over time getting replaced with the work that you're creating. And I think that's so cool. What that does for you is it creates a diegetic progress bar. This is one of my favorite words, and I'm going to be using it a lot, and I apologize because I know it's not. Like, no one knows what diegetic means, so I'm going to have to explain it every single time. But it means occurring within this context. I'm going to be talking about it a lot in future episodes. It's one of my favorite subtle but super effective game design tweaks. But, you know, having a progress bar, I think, on your computer is one thing. But if you have a physical progress bar that you can look at on your wall every day and you see it, that's super motivating. So think about that. You could also print up, when you're surrounding yourself with your artwork and inspiration and your own games and stuff, you can inspire yourself and surround yourself with goals. And I highly recommend doing that. Which brings us to the next step, number four, declare your bar. So what I mean by this is write down on a piece of paper or a document or something, write down what you could not argue with if you hit that goal and you would feel successful. You know what I mean? By declaring your bar, you can help eliminate things like imposter syndrome, which kind of affects us all. And I talk about that in my book, How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself, available now at Vladria.com. It's something you really got to get over, you know, and maybe some of you just don't have that problem anymore. But, you know, declaring your bar, list out some things that you want to accomplish. Like what is that for you? Launch a product, you know, self-publish a book, selling art, making money from art you've created. Showing a film at a film festival, attending a conference, like displaying your game or your product at a conference, making $1 from your games, right? Like whatever those bars are, you know, print it out. And as you accomplish those goals, you can mark it off. And at the end, you can no longer argue with yourself. And you're like, yeah, I am a creative person. I can take this seriously. Like I can no longer argue with the fact that I've done these things. Right. So, here's a little story about my experience. I grew up with two older brothers who were both extremely artistically talented. They could draw so many different styles, and they went to art class and stuff. And I never went to any art school throughout high school or college or anything. I always felt really intimidated by them, and I always wanted to get back into art. And so, when I finally had some time, and it's 2010, I started taking art a little bit more seriously. But I didn't actually think about myself as an artist for a long time. Even when I would be making art, I would think in my head, like, oh, I'm just kind of doing this as a joke. You know, like a friend needs like some album art cover, so I made a little thingy, or oh, I just did this little doodle or drawing or something, or oh, I'm just making a little game. You always kind of make up excuses in your head, but like I was minimizing it in my mind, right? Today, like I used to not think of myself as an artist. I've done pixel art covers, multiple ones, for mostly friends, which is totally fine. Joshua Morris is one. I've done so much pixel art for him. I've done the art for entire games that have made some amount of money. I've been paid real money for illustrations, hundreds of dollars. I've illustrated an entire book, How to Make a Video... Here it is again. How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself. Go buy it. It helps me out. I drew some fan art, sort of, for my friend Salmon Moose, who eventually got a version of it as a tattoo. How cool is that? Thank you, Amelia. It's another one of those things that kind of, like, helps me legitimize myself, because I got one of those, oh, I'm not a real artist. But, like, when I list it all out, you know, I'm not trying to brag, right? I'm just trying to say, like, when I list all that out at the end, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm an artist. Like, I have art that I made hanging on the wall. Like, okay, finally. It seriously took me, like, 10 years of working on art and making art to be like, okay, fine, I'm an artist. But anyway, declare your bar. You know, like, if you've launched a game on Steam, you are a super legit game developer. You've made probably some amount of money, you know? $1 is infinitely higher than $0. You know what I mean? So declare your bar. As you hit those, you can mark them off and you can feel like you're taking your creative side seriously and you're pushing yourself forward. All right. Final stretch here, friends. So, number five, and don't forget there's a secret one coming up, but, number five is a big one, and it's a really important part of the puzzle. It helps you with every other step of the way. Stop caring what anybody thinks. Who cares? Everybody's got their own lives. No one's really thinking about you that much anyway. Being creative can be kind of embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people do stuff that puts themselves out there, and you know they're doing it for creative reasons, and you're just like, ooh, it's a little cringy perhaps. And like society in general kind of wants you to be normal. You know what I mean? They don't want you to be unusual. They kind of have a box in their mind set up, and they would kind of prefer it if you would sit in that box, or else you get like resistance and remarks and stuff. But here's something to keep in mind is if you're putting yourself out there and you're making creative stuff, you want to be remarkable. You want that, you know, oh, the algorithm engagement and stuff. You want to be remarkable. You don't want to make stuff and you don't want people to look at it and go, nothing. They got nothing. You want them to remark. You want them to go, ooh, that's cool. Or, you know, you want them to feel like they need to share it with their own comment attached. You know, like they're, oh, I need to show you this. And I want to tell you that I love the way these rabbits are drawn, or, you know, this shader with the water is so cool. Or, you know, I want to tell you about this game because the characters physically walk up the stairs. And I love that as a programmer, whatever it is, you want people to comment on your work, right? And like, here's something I saw on Twitter recently that I really liked was, think back to the most embarrassing thing that like a friend or somebody did at a party or whatever, right? Do you remember anything? Nobody does. I don't really. I'm sure I've done embarrassing things in social situations. And like, I know I've gone home that night and been like, oh, you know, why did I say that? Or whatever it was. Nobody remembers or cares. Everybody has their own lives. And you're such a small part of those lives. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know what? By the way, thanks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for including me in your life as you work or do dishes or exercise. Good for you, by the way, if you're exercising. Good for you. But it's hard enough to get people to give a damn. So don't sweat about it too much because they might not even remember. There's a book that I highly recommend, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F***. Read it and take it to heart. Here's a big one. Be kind to yourself as you do these things. Stop caring what anyone thinks. I think kind of goes along with like care about what you think and be gentle. There will be a this image will be included on Vladria.com, the post version of this podcast. But my wife, I added, those who know Lostcast will appreciate this. I added a self-deprecating part to my book. And my wife, as she was kind of editing it and giving me feedback and stuff, she made a note. She said, I think she might have said, be kind to yourself, exactly. But she was like, you know, cut that. And I totally did. And the book is better for it. So thank you, Andrea. All right. So we have finished the five things. Let's get to the secret, because I think that this kind of is the cherry on top. You ready for the secret? So you're taking yourself more seriously as a creative person, and you've let's go down the list. You've carved out your space time. You're spending time and a little bit of money. You're buying yourself some nice treats and maybe some art supplies or some musical instruments. You're surrounding yourself with your work and inspiration. You've declared your bar and you're working towards it, and you don't care what anybody thinks. But you do a little bit. You want people to think your creative work is cool, right? And it's kind of hard to push past, you know, the normalcy of life. People don't really want you necessarily to make art. They kind of want you to work a job and be normal and just go watch Netflix and go to bed. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real cynical view of it. But you have to push past the pain to be creative. So here's the secret. I want you to be creative. And everyone does. I desperately want you to be creative. I really do. I want to see the cool, unexplored ideas bouncing around in your brain. When I'm not alone here, okay? I'm using myself as an example, but I am just, you know, an internet gamer. I'm just a person online looking around for cool stuff. I don't want another samey piece of crap. Nobody does. I don't want another AAA game that reminds me of 10 other AAA games. Nobody does. Nobody does. The reason people make that kind of content is because it's easy, it's anchored, it's familiar, and it sells, and it's marketable, and it makes total sense. I'm not particularly in the market for that. I'll consume it, I'll watch samey movies and all that stuff, but like every single time I sit down to watch a movie, read a book, or play a video game, I'm secretly hoping it's going to be the weirdest, most memorable thing. And I don't want the samey stuff. I want the weird stuff in your brain. I want you to find what truly means something to you. I want you to like chip away at it, and I want you to like form it into a perfect diamond and show me a reflection in that diamond I haven't seen anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? When you're doing creative work and you're trying to take yourself seriously and you're maybe doing things that are weird and unusual, you're going to experience resistance and indifference. Indifference is hard because, as we say, you know, earlier, we want people to remark on your work. Indifference is fine, right? Like, it's not, indifference doesn't stop you. It just doesn't help you, right? The worst one is resistance. So you'll get resistance, you will. And I want you to put up a creative shield, right? When you receive resistance, keep in mind it's not necessarily directed towards you or your creativity. There's just this psychological thing about people. Resistance is partially envy, right? People have a resentment towards those that strive to be their best selves, and people have a resentment towards people who are trying to put themselves out there and do creative, unique, and weird things. And so don't personalize it. And even if someone is like, I hate you specifically, or your idea here is garbage, just replace, like, do a regex, regular expression in your head, and replace the things that are targeted towards you, towards someone who's like upset, you know, they haven't achieved the goals that they want. They're a little jealous because they've always wanted to make a game and you're doing that. And it's really like they need to go talk to a therapist, and the therapist will tell them to like, hey, take Matt Hackett's advice and take your creative side seriously. But that's what I'm saying is it's not necessarily about you all the time, even if the hate is getting directed towards you. As a lot of times, it's just human psychology and the resentment of someone doing something that you think is cool. Like, keep that in mind, too. The remark, the reaction of resistance and negativity, the negativity is very close to positivity. By what I mean is, like, if someone hates something, that's closer to love than indifference. You know what I mean? They're both emotional. And someone who hates something, they're more likely to be flipped to love it than someone who's indifferent to it. You know what I mean? Like, if someone goes and writes a really negative review of a Steam game, what they really are saying is that they're passionate about it and it let them down a lot of times. So some Steam reviews are just garbage. And that's all there is to it. But I think you know what I'm saying, right? I'm kind of rambling here towards the end, but that's all right. I think the end is where I can kind of be a little bit rambling, a little less polished, and just kind of talk to you about how it is sometimes, you know? We want your weird. I'll end with that. All right. This is the end. This is going to be up on YouTube. I know a lot of you are just listening to this podcast version, and that's totally cool. What I did with the last one, the saturation analysis episode, is I listened to the episode myself, and then I drew on my iPad ideas to go along with it, and then I created a little time-lapse video. This video, I have more ambitious goals. I've got clips I want to include. I've got pictures. There's a video I took of me putting up some of my own drawings. So anyway, that's all just a big sell for please go subscribe to the Valadria YouTube channel, because you will hear this podcast with visuals along with it. Please go buy my book. I watched a great talk by Vlambeer recently, legendary developers of, you know, Super Crate Box and Nuclear Throne and Ridiculous Fishing. And they were saying, I'm going to be, follow me on Twitter, by the way. I have these great threads where I walk through GDC videos. I do like GDC video teardowns. I'm going to do that Vlambeer one sometime. But they were saying that you have to ask. I forget this all the time. You have to ask, or else people don't do stuff. They're living their own lives. I'm the same way. I'm not necessarily going to go, you know, follow you on Twitter or buy your game. But if you ask me to, I probably will. So go buy my book, please. How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself. I worked really hard on it. It's you can buy it physical or digital, just about anywhere. I think you'll like it. If you like this podcast, it's right. It's for you, you know. Sign up to my newsletter. It's awesome. It's at valadria.com. You will get this podcast in your inbox, or, you know, a link to listen to it, and then some additional stuff. And here's another secret about my newsletter is, I noticed there's this form. I use this thing called Ghost. It lets you include messages that are only included in email. So it's, I'm going to have fun with that. It's this secret little area where just a small fraction of you kind folks listening to this are going to see it. And we're starting that conversation now. So sign up, get those emails. Also, listener questions, you can go to anchor.fm/make-the-game. And here you can just hit the record button and you can send me audio messages. I've already received some kind messages from listeners. Thank you. Thanks for that. I've asked not to be called out, and that's okay. Two questions lined up as well. Which I will cover eventually. I have kind of a long schedule for this show. Speaking of which, I was actually going to do this episode was going to be about productivity. I have a whole episode written and some great tips. So be on the lookout for that. That's coming up soon. I think the very next episode is going to be a guest finally. And then we're also going to talk about making bigger games, especially going from game jams to bigger games. Thank you for listening. Please also go subscribe on your favorite app. If it's not on your favorite app, let me know. We'll get it up there. You can sometimes just add it yourself. Please write a review. I appreciate 5-star reviews, and let me know what you think of the show. I might just see it. No! You are being played out by Drop Points by Brian Teo, which you can put in your own projects at, you can go get the song at freepd.com. Now it's time for you to go make the game. I didn't record any extra audio for a stinger, so you're just going to have to imagine a scorpion or something.